Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in John Glennon, who covers the Titans for SI.com. Covers the Preds for NHL.com as well. John, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you all doing this morning?
We are great. It was a pleasure to watch John singing along to Dierks Bentley and Miranda Lambert the other night in the press box. Good stuff, Johnny.
You know, it's not often a chance I get to put those vocal talents on display, but I felt it necessary to jump right in there. So, yes, it was a big night.
Rex Road?
Spectacle on the ice and in the press box.
That's right. Rex Road, do you think we could get a Teresa Walker-John Glennon combo concert?
That could be a good duet. Yeah, I'm sure it was somewhat reminiscent of, you know, back in the day at UVA, singing the fight song, wearing your little tie to the football game. I'm sure it was
only
much
for
like
the
that.
First home game, Joe. Only for the first home game that the Tigers won. After that, it's casual.
That's right.
Whatever. It's business cash after that.
That's what happens.
Exactly.
It's classy up there. It's what we do. So, John, lots to get into with you here today. Let's start on the Titans front. We were talking about this earlier in the show. If you're J-Rob, Mike Vrabel, and the Titans, how much are you considering drafting a quarterback in the first round, given all the other needs that you have on this football team?
A quarterback in the first round?
Yes.
I would say dubious, I think, right now. I know that's going to be certainly a need shortly, but I think there are more pressing needs. I think you've committed to Ryan Tannehill as far as next year financially. And I also think, you know, this is not the best year, you know, to be looking quarterback in the first round either. You know, I think even more needy teams than the Titans at quarterback are going to come up empty just because there's not the talent that we usually see there. So I see that as being that would be a real surprise to me if they went quarterback. You know, I'm still thinking, you know, top priority for me, if you can't find a way to bring back Harold Landry, whether it's a tag or a contract, I think, you know, you need an edge rusher. I think wide receiver, you know, whether or not Julio Jones comes back, I think you're going to need someone there. Depending on what happens to the O-line, I think that's a big priority too. So maybe those are kind of the three spots that I would lean to right now as far as the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree, John. I mean, I'd be surprised too. It's not, I mean, you know, you're in a position where you should be looking to get better around the QB that everybody dislikes now in town. But I guess, like, your point about, you know, it's not a great QB draft, all it takes to me is, like, if there's one guy among that group or you're – as you go through the process, which I do think the Titans should be doing their due diligence on, and you're just like, holy crap, this is the guy, you know, whoever it may be. And you know, could get him, or you could get him, but just by moving a few spots up. I mean, I guess I would just, you know, I would keep an open mind on that just because, well, we see this quite often. We see this with Robbie Stanley's Packers, you know, the surprise taking a QB pick
worked out well.
Worked out real well for that. But I guess, like, so from an evaluation standpoint, do you think that just because you're a year closer, and obviously you do have a little bit more shakiness at that position, that you do more work to be sure or to really vet that position group?
Do you do more work at the quarterback position, you say, or?
Yeah, I mean, do you? I guess take that position more seriously this year in terms of, I mean, like a year ago,
yeah.
You know, well, you can't even be thinking about any of those guys.
Right.
There's no way. Now
right,
I wonder
yes.
if, like, at least you sort of prepare yourself a little bit better in case you happen upon one of them, or you're like, okay, this actually is our quarterback of the future.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think if there's an absolute lock, I mean, you can't ignore that. But I also think, you know, the Titans are still a team, you know, clearly by virtue of what they've done the last couple of years, you know, they're one of the better teams in the AFC. I think they're still in that, you know, the window to win, if you will, that they've got. You know, they're probably, you know, two, three good players away from, you know, maybe making a run at the whole deal if they can get it right. And to me, if you're in that kind of a situation, you know, I know quarterback is all important and you're going to need it at some point in the future, but first round to me is still an area where you can address more specific needs that are going to help immediately, you know, to help next year if you're still in that window to win. Again, you know, quarterback is the most important position on the field, so if you absolutely feel like a lock is there, you know, I guess you can't pass, but to me, you know, if you've only got two or three big holes to fill, you know, quarterback becomes secondary to me at that point.
John Glennon on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, John, we were kind of batting this around the last segment, too, about Philip Forsberg and what to do if you're David Poile. Obviously, you were there for the Ryan Suter situation. You've seen a lot of trade deadlines come and go for this Predators team. If they don't have Forsberg locked up by the deadline, we think at that point they'll still probably be a playoff team. What are you doing if you're David Poile when it comes to that?
You mean Forsberg wasn't already traded? I thought a week ago at this time we'd already had Forsberg traded off.
I thought he was too.
It's a tough one. It's a really difficult call because, you know, I think ever since that year, you know, where Ryan Suter moved on and Shea Weber nearly moved on, you know, David Poile has been very good about locking guys up before it gets to this point, you know, so that he doesn't have to go into an off season wondering what's going to happen and wondering if he's going to lose his guy for nothing, which if Philip Forsberg isn't signed, you know, by trading deadline, well, you know, that there certainly is that possibility. So I'd hate to be in that position. I think David Poile is going to do everything he can to re-sign Philip Forsberg by then. But, boy, I tell you, you know, if he's not signed and you do feel the need to make a move, you talk about, I think, taking a big PR hit. You know, I think there are some people out there that are going to be understanding and they're going to say, okay, he's your best asset. You're not a great team. You know, we need to bring in, you know, more new blood. But I think a lot of people out there, including a lot of Predators fans, are going to say, hey, Philip Forsberg, you know, is as good as we have right now. You know, he's one of the few, you know, recognizable, you know, top level talents in the league the Preds have. And you're trading this guy when we're in a playoff spot, you know, are we battling for a playoff spot? Are you crazy? So I'd say, it's a really, really difficult, call to make. I think David Poile, as I say, he may have to give a little bit in terms of negotiations, cause I would think he would really want to re-sign him and not move him at the deadline.
What would your number be, I mean, for him, and would you give him a no movement?
You know, I think David Poile has been a little bit more relenting these days in terms of giving up a no movement from time to time. You know, he certainly doesn't like to do it. But, you know, I think Philip Forsberg's got him over a little bit of a barrel this year. You know, I think we talked about, you know, the fact that he is maybe having his best year or certainly one of his best years in a long time. I mean, he's probably in the 40 to 50 to goal range at this point, and he's a crucial part of a team that's battling for a playoff spot. So, you know, I think you might give him that no movement clause. My accountants are still getting back to me on the numbers. I may have one for you in another week or so. You know, you got to pay up when you've got a top talent like Philip Forsberg.
It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. And by the way, trade deadline, not that far away, ladies and gentlemen. The calendar has flipped to March, and here we are, you know, 3 weeks from yesterday was the trade deadline. So not much time to figure this out.
No, and I think what's interesting, too, though, is that, you know, I think you've got five or six games before that deadline, you know, and four of those games, as I look at it, are against teams that are sort of in that 10 points around Nashville, whether they're maybe 5 points below Nashville, 5 points above Nashville. You know, if you win three of those four games, you know, it puts you in much better position in the playoff race, and you're, I think you're that much more willing to maybe spend an extra dollar or so for Philip Forsberg. If you lose, you know, say three of those four games and things are struggling right up until the deadline, maybe at that point you throw up your hands and say, you know, okay, maybe it's time for more significant change.
John Glennon from SI.com, NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Johnny, Great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. We'll come back. We'll react to what John had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Covington versus Masvidal coming up, and the rivalry will be renewed this Saturday night. FanDuel Sportsbook making things even more exciting by offering new customers 30-1 odds on either fighter. That's right, you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code ROB. Pick your fighter and get ready to win big. I like Covington in this matchup, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It is America's number one sportsbook for a reason. Take my word for it. It's super quick to get started, and you can withdraw your winnings in a snap as well. So don't miss your chance to cash in on one of the biggest fights of the year. Sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code ROB today. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only and $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road live from the Combine out in Indianapolis. Going to be a big day out there. Is Dan Campbell Day today, Joe Rex Road, or is that tomorrow?
It's today.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, very exciting stuff. I will say, you know, got into town and had a dinner reservation with Lions Media, and I was very excited to hear some real in-depth Dan Campbell stories. And then I flopped on my bed and totally missed it. So I totally screwed it up. And I just sat in my room. So that's unfortunate on my part. I actually thought I was going to bring some sweet Dan Campbell stories to the show today, and I didn't. But I will see what I can do today.
Well, I'm sure he will not disappoint later today. Give me some Dan Campbell all day long. I hope he does well. I'd like to see him be the coach of the Lions for a long time.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about that is it's not like you have to, like, you know, win playoff games or anything to keep your job as a Lions coach.
Well, unless you're Jim Caldwell, but yeah.
Well, that's true. Well, he didn't win a playoff game, but yes, Jim Caldwell.
But he's pretty good.
Well, I'm saying you don't have to win playoff games to keep your job. Yes, he should never have been fired. This is true. Probably the best coach of the Lions in my lifetime, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I love a little Wayne Fonts. Don't get me wrong. Wayne Fonts is a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably so. Yeah, Dan Campbell, I mean, look, this is a place for job security relative to other NFL franchises.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. What's the Titans schedule looking like? When are J-Rob and Mike Vrabel going to be talking to the media?
So that's, and of course, you know, I got to translate from Eastern to, you know, Eastern to Central. But tomorrow at, so our time, 11:45 and 12:45.
Okay.
Robinson first, Vrabel second. So, and you know, look, more of the, to me, this is more of a GM event,
sure,
right? But there's interesting questions about existing players on the roster for Vrabel too, as you look forward to next year. So we'll see what we can all get in. I'm trying to keep a file here of all the things that should be asked tomorrow.
I'm interested to see what sort of clues we may get on the Harold Landry part of things. I mean, obviously, I think that's something the Titans are working on right now, trying to get him signed to a deal. It is interesting. Glennon pointed this out in the last segment. Like, if you can't do it, if you can't get a deal done with him and you don't want to do the tag, which I guess that's something the Titans could choose to do, is to not want to do the tag, then all of a sudden there's another need for you in the draft. It just, with that in mind, like, it makes me think that either he's going to be signed to a long-term deal or he's going to be tagged. Like, that's the way I see this playing out. It's difficult for me to imagine Harold Landry not with this group next year.
I agree, but I'm keeping an open mind because I didn't think a year ago that both Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis were going to be let go. Yep. Or, you know, that they were gonna be okay with both of them walking, and they were. So you do have to make tough choices. I know that some believe there's no salary cap in this league, which would be amazing if that were true.
Would be.
But clearly that was another one of those situations like, well, you just don't have the money and you have to do other things. And so they moved on, went cheaper with Josh Reynolds. That didn't work out. We know all the stories, but it's just hard for me to believe that they would let Harold Landry walk when that pass rush got to where it got this year. And like again, this is where if you start comparing players from different positions, you know, like to me, Harold Landry, I like Zach Cunningham a lot, but Harold Landry's so much more important to me to have in your team. And I know he's a lot more expensive too, but I'm just saying, for example, if you're going to sacrifice at inside linebacker, not on the edge.
Going back to the quarterback side of this, I agree with you. Like the open mind part of this, I think you've got to approach it that way if you're the Titans heading into this. I just go back to looking at this team right now. Like to me, if Ryan Tannehill is not going to be your quarterback next year, and look, he still could be. I don't know. Like Ryan Tannehill could come out and play really well this year, and maybe he's still your quarterback as you move forward here. If he's not going to be your quarterback next year, though, like that probably changes your window to win, right? I mean, I would think so. I mean, you've got to start over at the quarterback position. So whether it's this year or next year, you're probably approaching your team a little bit differently if you're John Robinson at that point. Like, are you really going all in with a rookie quarterback? Is that going to be the way you approach things with the rest of your salary? I don't know. Like, maybe it is. But I would assume, like, to me, if I'm J-Rob, I'm kind of putting all my eggs in this year's basket, and if it doesn't work out, you're looking at quarterback and maybe trying to revamp things from there. But, you know, you'd have to me, if I'm J-Rob, I have to absolutely 100% believe that a quarterback is going to be my quarterback for the next 12 years if I'm drafting one in the first round this year.
Yeah. Again, it's only in the case of like, oh, my gosh, this is the guy. What can we do to draft this guy? Not, yeah, let's get a quarterback. Let's get a quarterback. It's time to get a quarterback. No, it's got to be this specific person. But, look, I mean, how quickly do we see rookies, if they're good, be good? We see it very quickly sometimes. A lot of times the top quarterbacks go to bad teams, but
yeah.
But I mean, it's a great, great thing, and we've seen Super Bowl champions come about because teams have quarterbacks on their rookie deals. We also see teams give up incredibly quickly on quarterbacks at times. Everything's been accelerated, so I don't know that. I mean, look, I certainly you're costing yourself a potential difference making player at another position that could really help you in 2022 if you draft a QB, but I don't know that I would look at it like, oh, so they're starting the window over. You know, I'd look at it like, okay, so they're moving quickly into an area in 23 where they now are investing way less in quarterbacks so they can do more at positions A, B, and C. And they still have some really good players. And again, remember, now there's going to also be more money devoted to A.J. Brown and Jeffrey Simmons in the future, but still – the cap's going to go up, and you could still have a really good team. And then you know, you hope that this rookie QB that you draft, which they probably won't and probably won't seriously consider, is really good.
What do you think the cost would be to move up in the draft from 26? Let's say they try to move up to go to 21 because they really love a quarterback that's there. How do you do that without having a second rounder this year? I mean, obviously, future first round picks would probably be involved. But if I'm a team trading back, especially trading back, you know, going from like 21 to 26, you know, I'm going to want more picks in this year's draft. How do you do that if you're the Titans based on all the other needs that they have?
Yeah, it would help to have a second. Gosh, would you give up? I mean, if I'm on the team at 21 and a team wants to give me 26, they're going to be a first rounder next year? Okay. Would you give that though? Would you trade a first rounder to move up five?
So maybe 21's a bad. Maybe 21's a bad example. Let's say they love, I don't know, they love Kenny Pickett, and they think that whoever's at 11 is going to take Kenny Pickett, and they want to go get Kenny Pickett. Like, how do you do that without a second round pick this year? And how much, I guess, of your draft capital are you willing to expend on a quarterback this year, even if you love it?
Yeah, it's probably that I could see then. And, that's and if the team in question, yeah, and I don't even know. I'm not looking at the board right now. But, yeah, in that range, you're talking about a team that's not very competitive right now that probably needs a little bit more work. So, I mean, getting a first for next year, sounds great unless you're the team that's going to pick him, you know. But if you don't have anybody that you absolutely covet at that spot, then yeah, I think that you would make that deal. And it would probably take that and maybe like a third this year or something. I don't know. Something like that. But I look at like a Pickett, you know, just as him as an example. And that's the thing too, like Pickett, but probably more than just Pickett. You know how it goes. Like they'll go higher than we think they're going to go now. You know,
well, it's been crazy to see the mock draft stuff because I've seen, like I saw a mock draft where Malik Willis went number 3 overall. And I've seen mock drafts where he's still available when the Titans are picking at 26. Like it's amazing right now.
Yeah.
The range with some of these guys.
Yeah. And he's fascinating because I think he's got the tools. It's hard with Liberty and the competition, all that stuff. And, you know, he's had some bad moments too, turns it over too much, stuff like that. But I just think with his skill set, it's going to be closer to the 3 than the 26.
I would think so too. It's just that kind of highlights, I think, what people think about this draft. Like Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with him. I've seen Kenny Pickett like number 2 overall, and I've seen Kenny Pickett in the teens. Like it's amazing the range with some of these guys. Now, it's not necessarily unique. Like Mac Jones was all over the place last year too before the draft, and he ends up going, 15 to the Patriots? So, I mean, things can change come draft night. But the quarterback position is always interesting because the other thing to keep in mind is like once that first one gets taken, then it's a domino effect from there, and everybody feels like they got to go get their quarterback at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely see runs on positions. Although, again, like if that's how you're looking at it as a team, then you're probably in bad shape, you know? Yeah. It's like this quarterback crop, it just seems like there's a wide range of opinions. Even on Pickett's probably the surest thing. And like you said, there's still a wide range of opinions on him. And maybe some of those things get crystallized. They will. There'll be some advances in sort of how people view all these guys after this week. But if you're just out there like, we got to get a quarterback, well, then that's how you lose in the NFL.
We'll continue the conversation, take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll look up to a big game tonight for Tennessee against Georgia coming up on the other side as well. All that coming up throughout the show here today. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right, guys. If you're out there a little frustrated in the bedroom, maybe you've got erectile dysfunction or it's just very mild, but you want to improve things, that's what we do at Hillside Medical Clinic with a technology. It's called wave therapy. It delivers very gentle pressure waves into the blood vessels, which causes those blood vessels to open up and expand. Clinically proven to improve circulation enough, we can finally get rid of the ED without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, that's what's so great is this is not a theory. It is heavily vetted and proven. We have 50 third-party studies posted at hillsidemedicalclinic.com. Colleges, universities, hospitals, they say safe and effective, and even call it the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And, Andrew, you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We do. We really believe in delivering a lot of value. If you're ready to regain your love life, put a stop to the ED, or just improve things in the bedroom, call us right now. We'll set you up with an assessment, exam, and blood flow ultrasound at no charge. And a gift, you'll love this, trust me. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. It's worth hundreds of dollars. Call us now. It's all free.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports going to join us to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Chris Mason coming up at 9:30, looking ahead to the road trip this week coming up for the Nashville Predators. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, Tennessee taking on Georgia tonight. The Vols on the road against the Bulldogs. They'll close out their season coming up on Saturday at home against Arkansas before tournament play begins. I mean, on paper, this is a game that Tennessee should win pretty easily tonight against Georgia, but we have seen Georgia hang in there a couple times this year. They should have beaten Auburn a few weeks ago and then let that one get away from them there at the end. So I guess if you're Tennessee and Rick Barnes, you're concerned about maybe an emotional letdown coming off a big win against Auburn and looking ahead to Arkansas. And as you've pointed out, if Tennessee shoots poorly, they can be beaten by anyone. Having said all that, I think the Vols roll tonight against Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia also beat Alabama. That was also a few weeks ago when – you know, things weren't so – it's tough as you lose and it piles up on you to keep competing. It'll be interesting. And look, I mean, Tom Crean, you know, looks like it's probably the end of the road for him at Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, so you have that going on too. They, you know, they're not devoid of talent. But, yeah, this is an important game for the Vols. It is between two huge ones. They certainly want to get Arkansas back this weekend. They just got, to me, the win of the year over Auburn. I mean, Kentucky's a close second, but Auburn would be – well, actually, Auburn, Arizona, then Kentucky would be the third probably biggest win of the year for the Vols. But still, that's not bad, Cats.
You good, Joe? You good over there?
I'm fine. We're good. I didn't say anything about Rupp.
This is my favorite version of Joe.
But you gotta take care of business. You know, you gotta take care of business. You want to stay on that three line. Yeah, you want to stay alive too. You want to stay alive for, you know, an SEC banner. I mean, if Mississippi State can somehow pull off a shocker on Auburn, you are now in play to get a share of the SEC championship, which would be a major deal. And there aren't many of those in Tennessee basketball history. And of course, you want to be in the best possible position for next week in Tampa. Which for what could be a great SEC tournament, but the three line is really important. You know, if you're on the four line, and that sets you up, you know, to have to play well on Arizona again, Baylor. You know, Baylor last night looked really good at Texas. Like that's a team with championship DNA. Gonzaga, you know, the Gonzaga team that you guys told me had no chance of losing to St. Mary's. But you'd rather, jeez, you know, you'd rather be looking at right now Auburn and Kentucky are both twos and you beat them both, you know, like the three seed is a worthwhile pursuit for sure. So right now I think they're solidly on that line, but if you lose to a Georgia, that can change.
I'm interested to see, I mean, you brought up the bigs yesterday with Mike Wilson. I'm interested to see how they continue to use those guys. You know, Adu's minutes went down the other day against Auburn, but I still think the rim protection that he's brought to the table since he's come into the lineup on a more frequent basis could be a big weapon for them come down the stretch. I mean, obviously, you're more worried about other matchups there than you are with Georgia, and this could be a game where maybe Fulkerson has a big role as well. But I'm interested to see how Adu continues to develop because, to me, when he's on and when he's defending the way we saw him defend, I mean, that Kentucky game I thought was pretty darn good from him. If that's going to be the way he plays for this team coming down the stretch, that could be a pretty big difference maker.
Well, I feel like Adu's been great for Brandon Huntley Hatfield. Yep. I think he's pushed him. It's like he's about to take your minutes, man. Because so Huntley Hatfield responded last game, 8 rebounds. You know, that's big for the big tip dunk. He hits that three, and you're not going to count on that. But Huntley Hatfield has been ahead of him all year, has a little bit more offensive game right now. Now, granted, he's been ahead of him also because of all the ailments that Adu had early in the year. So that kind of feels to me like earn your minutes, freshman. Which of these freshmen is going to earn their minutes? And like you said, some of it is matchup. I think both of them can have a role. And Adu certainly is the is more of the rim protector of the two.
Yep.
And that's a it's a great thing. The way Tennessee pressures and plays on defense very aggressively, you know, that I mean they funneled everything to Eve Pons last couple of years. And, you know, to have someone like that who's playing 15, 20 minutes would be really helpful for them.
I can't get over the headline that I'm seeing on ESPN right now on Get Up. It says, quote, Kenny Pickett's hand size to be measured at NFL Combine this morning, expected to have the smallest hands of any current NFL QB. It's hand size season, Joe. Here we go.
Oh, my God. Oh, the hand size. Yes, it's just what a week. What a week.
Or and you get you to walk around and witness hands. All that in person.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. Really exciting stuff. Hands. That's one of those that I swear that's in the last like 5 to 7 years, right? I don't remember that ever coming up. I mean, it used
it's
to
a
be
big
the
deal
Wonder
now.
Lick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Got to have the proper hand size.
Yeah. So if you have huge mitts, you can be a complete idiot who, you know, doesn't know to not to throw to the other team. But if you have huge mitts, that's great. And if you have small hands, I don't know. I don't know, Kenny.
Got Vandy taking on Florida tonight at home. An opportunity tonight for Vanderbilt against the Gators, who have been up and down this year. What do you think of Vanderbilt in this matchup against Florida?
Yeah, it's, you know, Florida's right there. I mean, Florida is battling. Now, Florida, really one of the – Vanderbilt has been in almost every game in the SEC. Florida would be one exception. They really took it to Vanderbilt. And I'm trying to see where – I mean, Florida is – they're trying to get themselves to the bubble. They're probably on the wrong side of the bubble right now, but they're not too far away. So, like, if you're Florida, you have to win this game. This is Vanderbilt's last home game. And I think it's a – you know, it's right now, I mean, Vanderbilt is fighting to me for an NIT bid. To me, you got to be over 500, you know, to be in there. So – how do you do that? Are they going to win both games this week? They go to Ole Miss this weekend. That's certainly a winnable game. But, you know, if they win tonight, now I really like their NIT chances. I think that they could make it a – they could be 16-14 going to the SC tournament. You win one game there, you know, and I think you're in good shape. I think you're going to get to the NIT. So it's critical for both teams. But, you know, Florida on that NCAA bubble, like, you absolutely cannot lose this game tonight.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mark from Paris texting in says, I really believe if Pickett is there and the Titans pick him, I'd take him. For what he saw, he's the real deal. This is coming from Mark from Paris. Big fan of Kenny Pickett. Maybe Mark a big fan of the fake slide.
The fake slide was, I mean, I'm sorry, but it was
it's crafty. Pretty awesome.
Mark, if you say if he's there, like at 26, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there at 26. Yeah. If he is, then I need to know all the things. Like, do we have a gas mask
hand size
situation? Yeah. Were his tiny hands holding his gas mask full of weed that we got leaked on the internet as soon as the draft started? Like,
shout out to Larry Matunzel. That was amazing.
Scraping the resin out of the bong with his tiny little fingers.
By the way, Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft has come out. He has the Titans selecting Jahan Dotson at 26.
Yep.
Then two picks later, Jameson Williams going to the Packers at 28.
Oh, you'd love that.
Sure would.
Dotson, Olave, Williams, all of them very intriguing. You gotta figure out exactly what fits you best. I just think the pure speed factor with Jameson Williams is hard to deny. But Dotson also very fast.
I got a texture that says the Titans will be pushing P if we pick Williams, the wide receiver from Alabama. We're never going to escape pushing P here on the program.
I got shunned pretty much for not knowing what that meant.
Well, then we'd all been screwed because I had no clue what that was.
All my friends were like, are you kidding me, Michelle? Have you been living under a rock? They're like, you're kidding.
Because you hang out with old people.
Yeah,
I hang out with you guys. So
Your friends were also at the bar the other night. Like, wait, why are you talking to that old dude?
Which, for clarification,
it was a work thing, and Rexford was there. Yeah. I wasn't talking to some old dude.
Well, there, I'm talking about me.
Well, Joe, we know the joke, but we're also talking on the radio right now where nobody has any idea what you're talking about.
I suppose you're right. The way I phrased that could be taken a different way. I apologize.
Thank you, Joe.
Why are you making out with that old dude over there?
Oh, boy. Well,
all right.
When we come back, I love our friend Jared Stillman, but there's one take of his that he has that I think is just so absurdly stupid. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst at 9:30 as well. So, Joe, our friend Jared Stillman, who we talk about a lot here on our show, according to him, sometimes 60% here on the show is content made out of Jared Stillman.
That's on average.
That's on average. Sometimes I hesitate to do this, and even last night, you know, I tweeted about this to a certain degree yesterday, and even some of the replies that I got last night, are people just taking things too far? I feel like we almost need to put disclaimers out there. I love Jared. Joe loves Jared. We are very fond of Jared Stillman. Sometimes he says some things that are pretty dumb, and sometimes he deserves to be called out on those things. And look, this is perhaps my favorite. There's a lot of Jared Stillman takes that I like. I think this one is my favorite one, and it's come up sporadically over the course of the past few months. I saw it a few weeks ago. This was a tweet on February the 19th. It says, quote, "I find John Calipari so much more likable than I used to. Maybe it's because he wears a suit still, unlike these other coaches that dress like it's the JV game." This was a tweet from Jared Stillman a few weeks ago on February the 19th. "I'm driving around yesterday, you know, going out running a few errands, and somehow this comes back up. I don't know exactly how they got on this subject, but the idea of college basketball coaches not wearing suits on the sideline apparently just drives Jared nuts. And he sees the pullovers and the quarter zips out there, and basically takes it as a personal affront to the world of coaching out there that these coaches are no longer wearing suits." And it's hilarious because Jared is still a relatively young guy. You know, he's in his early 30s, doing really well for himself. He's got some style every now and then. I like Jared, like the way he dresses, as Joe raises his eyebrows on Jared and style. But this is perhaps the most old man yelling at a cloud take that I think he has ever had in terms of college basketball coaches not wearing suits and wearing quarter zips. It makes Jared sound like a 75-year-old man. It's my favorite take of his that he has, and I love it. It really bothers Jared that college basketball coaches don't wear suits on the sideline. Joe, are you upset in college basketball that the tradition is gone and that the suits seem to be a thing of the past in college basketball?
Well, like, why? Why do they need to wear suits and others, coaches of other sports don't, you know? It's just an interesting thing when you think about all the different sports. Like, obviously, like football coaches, forever. They've been, you know, Mike Ditka used to be over there with a nice, like, scarf and a tie. Yeah. And I guess you go way back, you know, George Halas and Lombardi and those guys were. But, like, football coaches forever now have been basically they're wearing a – I mean, Belichick, Jared's favorite coach of all time, wears like a dirty hoodie.
He got out of the YMCA. Yeah.
He dipped it in oil and put it on. Like, I mean, it's the most disgusting thing ever. And he wears it. Oh, Belichick. Yeah. I don't know why the basketball coaches, because they're indoors,
I guess.
But it's just been a thing they've done. I haven't cared at all. Obviously, this all, for people who haven't followed along with these sports fashion trends, you know, you get into COVID and the bubbles, and a lot of coaches are like, okay, let's just, why do we have to make this so formal?
Yeah.
It's interesting that he continues to beat the drum on this.
He's really bothered by it. Nate on the text line says, Jared said the other day that if suits were being worn, there wouldn't be scrums in the handshake line.
Now,
I did not hear him say this.
He did not.
So I can't comment as to whether or not he said it. But if that, if he said
now
that,
I'm
oh
curious. Now I'm curious.
He did not say that. Please tell me he did not say that.
I am just reporting to you what Nate has told me on the text line.
If Juwan Howard had a nice turtleneck on, it would have been a hug instead of a smack. He didn't say that. No, he didn't say that.
I'm just.
Please tell me, Jared, that you did not say that.
Jared, text in right now and let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, you better defend yourself if you actually said that, Jared. By the way, if this is now the standard by which Jared judges coaches, he should be a huge Jerry Stackhouse fan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Stackhouse's suit game. And that's the thing.
It's
like,
strong.
Well, if there's a coach who relishes this and really gets into it and knocks it out of the park, I say keep wearing the suits.
Yeah, man.
The Stackhouse's suit game, and you never know what you're going to get. And
it's fire.
He's not afraid to take some chances, too. So that's great. He likes doing it. Hey, to me, wear whatever you want. I mean, again, here and there, you'll randomly see a football coach do something other than the quarter zip or the whatever, like whatever they're all wearing on the sideline. I don't really care. You know, the NBA, I'm trying to think, is the NBA mostly still – a lot of those guys aren't wearing suits now anymore either, right? Yeah. Am I right?
Quarter zips usually.
A lot of quarter zips.
Quarter zips, yeah. Okay.
Golf pants. I mean,
it's just weird. What about like women's? I do feel like women in women's basketball. I'm still seeing most women's basketball coaches wearing like suits.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Shea Ralph is casual. Shea
Ralph doesn't though. Yeah, she's wearing like a quarter zip. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, you're right though. It's fantastic that he's grabbed onto this as like a big issue in sports. You know?
Well, my question for him is, like, Bruce Pearl at Tennessee wore a suit. Mm-hmm. It was bright orange. Like, is that acceptable? Like, are you okay with the team colored suits, or does it have to be like you're showing up to a tax meeting somewhere with your formalized suits? Like, where do we draw the line, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, like do you need really boring suits, or do you like some creativity with the suits? You know, vest or no vest, Jared? You know, like, is that okay?
I wonder if you like the Rick Pitino, like, all white with the candy cane striped tie.
Mm. It's quite the look.
Like he's Colonel Sanders or something.
Some suspenders in there.
Mark texting in says, how does Jared know? He doesn't watch college basketball. He only watches the Titans and the Preds, right? It's coming from Mark from Paris on the text line. Jared watches some college basketball.
Yeah. I mean, he basically complains about anybody ever talking about college basketball, and then he complains about things in college basketball that means that he watches college basketball.
Ryan from Chicago texting in says, Phil Jackson won 13 rings, tripping on acid half the time. He was wearing a suit, though. He was. Was wearing a suit.
You know, just because Phil Jackson was a hippie way back in the day, I don't think he was actively on acid on the sidelines.
Maybe elsewhere, but not the sidelines.
Yeah,
that triangle offense is, and it's very creative, though.
Nate texting back in said, he said it, Joe. He said that because the guy that used to throw chairs wore a sweater. That's coming from Nate on the text line. So
he's talking about Bobby Knight throwing the chair against Purdue in 1985. Yeah. So had Bobby Knight stuffed himself into a suit, he would have been different guy.
Yeah.
I don't believe
it. I'm hoping this is true. I need to find the audio of it. I will withhold judgment until I hear it for myself. But if that's true, we need to find this. That'd be good stuff.
So there's got to be a way to tie this to John Hines being fired, right?
John Hines wears suits every game. What are you talking about?
He does. So maybe is that the only thing that's saving him from being fired per Jared?
I don't know. Maybe
it is. I don't know. We may have stumbled upon an even dumber take than the John Hines take from last week. No way. But then again, I guess it is like a minefield with Jared, right? If you're going to start dipping in on his takes, I mean, you got to start dancing around, look very carefully on the ground underneath you.
But see, this is why I hesitate, because people take it too far when it comes to Jared. Jared's a very good guy. We love his takes here on the show. Sometimes they're just very funny to me. And this is one of them. This is my favorite one.
It's a great one. And by the way, Jared, if anybody ever asks you again for a cameo, you better be in a suit.
Yeah, no question about it.
Hey, but he likes John Calipari, so.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Real great.
We all do. We all do.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.